You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
But anyhow, thank you so much for being here. And if we can be of any help, please let us know. Brother Charles is going to come and sing now for us. Thank you.
Well, we've just finished last week, the day that we celebrated Easter this year. But to me, Easter is really about the middle of April, no matter what day they celebrate it. April 14th is my wife's birthday, and I love it when that falls on Easter. So to me, Easter is April 14th. So we're going to do an Easter song tonight. The wonderful thing about Easter is, as Leland says a lot of times, the whole world recognizes that Jesus rose from the grave. They may not recognize anything else about him, but even if they're only making money off of it, they're going to recognize and they're going to help us celebrate that Jesus arose. And that's really what this song says. Jesus has risen. It's wonderful that he was born of a virgin. It's wonderful that when he was 12 years old, he stood before the Sanhedrin and the big wigs of the Jewish faith and amazed them with the knowledge that he already had as such a young man. And it was amazing the cruel and horrible death that he died. But the most amazing thing of all is that he is the only man in history that died, was buried, and by his own power, he came forth from that grave alive. He's gone from this earth right now, but he is still very powerful, and one day he's coming again. And that's what we love to sing about. Jesus laid in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. The people thought he'd been stolen away. When they looked inside, there was nobody there. The tomb had an echo, was silent and bare. Gone, gone, Jesus has risen. The tomb had been down with the keys in his hand. He locked death away in eternity's prison. The grave has been conquered for every man. Empty where Jesus once lay. There's no other like it to this very day. No one could explain it, but they knew it was true. He arose from the dead like he said he would do. Gone, gone, has risen. He's gone down to hell with the keys in his hand. He locked death away in eternity's prison. The grave has been conquered for every man. Gone, gone, Jesus has risen. Ascended to heaven to the Father's right hand. He locked death away in eternity's prison. The grave has been conquered for every man. He locked death away in eternity's prison. The grave has been conquered for every man. grave has been conquered for every man. He is God. He is in heaven. And I'm going there one day.
Very good. Nobody ever asked me to sing. Oh, I sing all the time. I've had a lot of requests, but I've sung anyhow. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about this thing called love. We use it a lot of different ways, use that word from sexual relationships to... Did you ever stop and think that all divorces started with "I love you"? Think about that. God knew that. In fact, the greatest word for that that God used is called charity. Because charity, if you give something to charity, you don't expect to get anything back. The best you can get back is a plaque that said you gave something to charity, or maybe you get a write-off. But we usually, if we love somebody, you better love me back. If I give you something, then you better give me back. Years ago, back in the 50s, right after I became a Christian, there was a guy in Dallas, Texas, by the name of Bill Herod. And Bill Herod, evidently, according to what I read about him, had been just a hellraiser. He was a welder in South Dallas. He'd had a bunch of run-ins with the law. He'd had fights with them. He just had a very bad reputation. And somebody got Bill into a revival meeting, and Bill Herod trusted Christ one night and got saved. And his whole life just made a 180-degree turn. And Bill felt like God was calling him to preach. And a bunch of Bill's old buddies, his running buddies, didn't feel like God was calling him to preach. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to talk to Bill anymore. And Bill went out and rented him a little dirt floor building there in South Dallas. Built him a little makeshift pulpit and took in some chairs and announced, put up a little sign that he was going to be preaching every night. And his buddies put out the word that he would not preach. And come the first night of the meeting, and his old buddies, big old boys, showed up standing around at the back of the building, standing outside. Bill's not going to preach. Bill comes walking into the pulpit, lays a double barrel shotgun right here. And he said, Paul said, "Woe be unto me if I do not preach the gospel of Christ." He said, "I say unto you, woe be unto you if I don't preach." Bill got to preach. And it's amazing how those things equal out like that. But God's love takes some steps like that. God's love is not that namby-pamby. I had people to say, and I've had them say to me, "My God wouldn't send anyone to hell." Well, he really doesn't. He gives you a choice, and you make that choice. I make that choice. But let me tell you, depending on that choice, he's going to take care of the rest of it. You will go there. Nobody just walks in on their own, but he gives us a choice. Somebody said, "My God wouldn't cause anybody to have cancer. My God wouldn't cause anybody to have a stroke. My God..." Well, I don't... let me give you... I want to show you what the God of love... Well, first, go with me to 1 John chapter 4. Because there's no doubt about God's love. If you know any verse in the Bible, you'll know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. If you ever doubt God's love, just go back to Calvary, where God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I got three boys. I wouldn't give one of them for you. God gave his only son. And so but look in chapter 4, and let's start with verse 7, if you will. Yes, if you don't have a Bible and want to turn to 1 John, raise your hand. We'll get you one. And I want to apologize some, y'all. I do this too quick sometime, and I don't give people time to turn in the Bible. And so I want, and by the way, if I do that, hold your hand up, which means slow down, old man. We'll still be out of here on time, okay? But I want you to see what the Bible says. If you miss what I say, that's okay. But I want you to see what the Bible says. So we're going to start with verse 7, 1 John chapter 4. That's right over before you get to the book of Revelation. Anybody not have it yet that's got a Bible? Okay, we're all there. Here we go. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now skip to chapter verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and then sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Translated, West Texas, a payment for him. He paid for our sin. Now look at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Then chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. Now, the word love appears in the Bible 310 times. Now, that's just the word love. That doesn't count loves, plural. All right, doesn't count as loved. I should have looked him up. And I mentioned that John 3:16, for God so loved the world, as being the greatest picture of love there is. But it's also a picture of hate. I'm going to give you five things real quickly that the God of love is about. Let me introduce you to the God of love. Number one, go with me to the book of Matthew here, chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is that? God. The God of love is to be feared. Let me tell you something. I never doubted that my daddy loved me. And it took me, my daddy was not an emotional man. My daddy was not an expressive man. And it took me after I had children to be able to look at my daddy and say to him, Daddy, I love you. But we just never used those words. And I don't know why that was so hard to do, because when I thought there was no, the reason I thought I didn't get stuff, in fact, I was in college before I realized we were poor. I thought the reason I didn't get stuff, my daddy thought I didn't need it. And that's why I didn't get it. But I can tell you through all that, I never worried about eating. I never worried about having clothes. I never worried about having a place to stay. But I feared my daddy till the day he died. My daddy died in my house. My daddy had cancer and he was weak. And I remember taking him in my arms and putting him in bed, which brought back memories to me of when I was a little boy, and he used to take me in his arms and take me to the cellar when the storms would come. We lived out in the country. But you know what? I always feared, when I got big enough where I knew I could whip him in a fist fight, I wouldn't have dared done it, because you know what? I feared my dad. He would have waited till I was asleep and then beat me. I knew that man. I never doubted that he loved me. It just took me a long time to really grasp that he loved me so much. My daddy was the hardest man I ever worked for, and I went to work for him. I was 15 years old, roughnecking. Back then, you could get a miner's release and go to oil patch, and my daddy was a driller. And my daddy said this to me. He said, "Son, if you can work for me, you can work for anybody." I didn't understand that, but I did later on. But it dawned on me later that my daddy loved me enough he wasn't going to let me fail. He would not put up with any of my foolishness, and I thank God for that. He was very important. Second thing about the God of love is he'll make people sick. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. That's the second chapter, second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. God has delivered, he's leading the Jews out of Egypt, performing miracle after miracle. Notice verse 26, and God is talking, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I'm the Lord that healeth thee." Right after I moved out here, some guy was telling me, he said, "Man, I just need a good healing." And I don't think very fast on my feet, but he said, "Don't you need a good healing?" I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Well, why?" And I said, "I don't want to be sick." "You can't get a healing unless you're sick." He said, "I'll keep you from those diseases." Let me tell you, every time I get sick, first thing I think about is confession. Asking forgiveness. "Lord, what have I done wrong?" The God of love makes men sick. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Not just the Old Testament, but Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're over in the New Testament, 1 and 2 Corinthians, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper. And he told them, verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And then notice verse 30, what he says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," which means die there. Sleep to a Christian is death. So the God of love can take your life. The God of love will make you sick. which takes us to the next one, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Deuteronomy is the fifth book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy chapter 32. Everybody there? Okay. Verse 39. See now that I, God speaking, even I, am He, and there's no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. That's the God of love. He's balanced. Job, right before the book of Psalms, which is halfway in your Bible, you remember what happened to Job. Job was, God was talking to Satan one day, and he said, "Hey, have you seen my servant Job?" He said, "There's not a man on earth like him. That's the best man on earth. He is one great Christian guy." And Satan said, "Let me tell you something. The reason he's a great Christian guy is you made him rich. You made him prosperous. Goodness, why wouldn't he be a good Christian? Now you take his things. You take his stuff. And he'll curse you to your face." And God said, "Look, I'll tell you what, Satan. You can take everything he's got. Just don't, you can't touch his body." And in one day, Job went from the richest man on earth to the poorest. Took everything he had, including his family. He had 10 children. Satan killed all 10 of them that day. And let me tell you what Job did. Verse 21 of Job chapter 1. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know what's good about being a Christian, and you bear Christian people, you get to see them again. I bear my oldest kid, and I bear my youngest kid. And I can tell you that both days were not enjoyable. But I can also tell you that I had the joy of standing at that casket saying, "I'll see you again, son. I'll see you again, honey. I get to see him again." Somebody says, "How many kids you got?" I said, "I got 5, but just got 3 to worry about anymore. Don't have to worry about them 2. They're in good shape. They're in good hands." God will kill people. That's the God of love, people, that we're talking about. See, because if you love the roses, you're going to hate the weeds. That's love and hate. Next thing about God, while we're in Job, turn to chapter 12. Job chapter 12. Notice what he says in verse 14 through 19. "Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. And also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh judges fools. He loosed the bonds of kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty." God can do what he wants to do. That's the God of love. He'll destroy anything if he wants to. Look in the book of Isaiah, over to the right of the book of Psalms. We have those 3 books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. But in Isaiah chapter 24, verse 1. Everybody got it? 24 verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. God will do what He wants to do. That's the God of love. The God of love also will hate. Turn to the last book in the Old Testament, Book of Malachi. One of the first guys ever came to my Bible class, Big Spring Federal President, and he's still a friend. He was a big drug dealer out of Seattle, Washington. In fact, he was the largest drug bust in the history of Seattle and still holds that record. He also went back a pauper, but he was an Italian guy. And he called this, but he said this was the only Italian writer in the Bible. His name's Malachi. And I had to think about that a little bit. He kind of had me going a little bit. But the book of Malachi, verse 2 and 3. Listen to God. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob, and notice, and I hated Esau. Here's two brothers. Now, go with me to the book of Romans, that great doctrinal book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and then Romans. And Romans chapter 9, verse 13. And Paul refers back to what I just read, and here's what he said. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. See, going into the book of John, that great, to the third chapter, that's got that great "for God so loved the world" in it. And look at the very last verse of John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God's wrath, His anger, targets people. Look at Revelation, the last book in the Bible, next to the last chapter, chapter 21, and verse, let's start. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. Now listen. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He said they're headed for hell. Hell is a place where you don't get any sleep. Hell is a place where you can't have a drink of water. Hell is a place of pain and terror. This is the God of love that we're talking about. See, He's balanced. Just as you love some people in your life, you'd hate anybody that tried to destroy them. If you love your kids, you're going to hate anything that mess them up. Hey, it's balanced. This is the God of love. Back in that John 3 again. And after that verse, great verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And God didn't have any more to give. He gave the only thing, that his son, that whosoever believeth in him. Notice that. Didn't say whosoever straightened up and gave to the church. Said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now listen carefully. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You realize that people go to hell not for what they do, but for the one thing they don't do. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How simple. How easy it is to get to heaven. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I trust you. I believe you. I believe you rose from the dead, like Brother Charles sung about. I want you to be my Savior. And the Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How hard is that? When can you do that? Anytime. Where can you do that? Anywhere. It is so simple. God made it so simple. But if you won't trust his son, I'll do it later. Not right now. I don't believe all of it. Doesn't make any difference. The God of love is the God of truth. And he didn't call us about anything. We should bow your heads a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around. You're here tonight. And you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you say, Leland, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. Tell me one more time. Well, what do I do? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Leland, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Real quick. Yes, I see yours, hon, and yours, sir. Yeah. When you put it up, you can put them back down. Yes, I see them. Now listen to me carefully, and I'm sure there's others, but I want you to listen. All he has to do, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, that's right there in your heart. God sees the heart. I don't. Nobody else does. You and God are the only ones in this deal. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made salvation. I want you to stand to your feet. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. We're going to pray. And after I pray, Brother Charles is going to be singing Just As I Am. And on that very first verse, I want you to come and say, I trust Christ as my Savior, our Heavenly Father. You've seen the hands. You know the hearts. Now, Father, I pray you give these people the courage, the faith just to step out for you. I know it's hard because everybody in the world's against it. Satan's against it. The devil's crowd's all against it. But Father, help them to come tonight to put their faith and trust in Jesus. And he'll take them to heaven. He promised. He's never lied to any of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On the very first verse, come on. Come on.
Just as I am.
Say, I trust Christ tonight. You lifted your hand, now come. Come on. Step out.
Shed for me, and I
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.